is to the physical body. The greatest need of our time is faith, love, and hope. I challenge you to show me how things like Columbine or the theater shooting in Denver happens with those three things as the center of people's lives. It doesn't. Because when we love human life. We care about others. We would never think of pulling out a gun and shooting them in cold blood. You know, we have the hope of life. We have a hope that life will improve. We have a hope in each and every one of us today of salvation. We have a hope of heaven. When you think all is lost, and many times it's easy to set in our lives and to feel that way, to feel buried under debt, to feel buried under all the responsibilities that we have, to feel buried under all the things that are going on, and how do I respond to them? We need to remember some things. We think all is lost. We need to remember that the Father is still on His throne. That the Holy Spirit still works through His Word. And Jesus is still coming again. We need to remember that the gospel still has the power to save. And that prayer still reaches the ears of the Creator of the universe. And that there are still many who have not bowed the knee to Satan. A number of years ago, Duke University researchers performed an experiment to see the effect of hope and what it has on ongoing hardship. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in separate tubs of water. In one tub, they never went back in. And within a very short period of time, all the rats drowned. But in the other room, they had the rats in there, and over a short period of time, they went in and they picked them up out of the water for just a little bit, and then they put them back down in the water. And those rats swam for 24 hours before they drowned. Those animals had not just been given a rest, they had been given a hope that someone would come in and pick them up again. Those animals somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little longer, someone would reach down. And if hope holds such a power for unthinking rodents, imagine the power that it has in our lives to push us forward, to push us on even in the darkest of times. Such is the power of hope that can keep one alive when nothing else can. I've known people terminally ill. And I've known people that have given up. Just said, that's it, I give up. Life is over. And you know what? It was pretty quick. And I've known people that said, I've lived a good long life. My grandmother was given 6 months to live. She said, I've lived a good long life. If that's what it is, that's what it is. But I'm going to keep living. I'm going to keep going. If whatever treatment works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I got better things to look forward to. She lived for 2 years without treatment toward the end. Hope is a powerful thing. It makes such a difference in our lives. Proverbs 13 and 12, the wise man says, hope deterred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. You know, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in today, is there? If I have nothing for the future, if I have no hope for the future, if I have no hope of what lies ahead of me as being something worth living, then my today is going to be a miserable place. My today is going to be a day of weakness. I'm going to be a person not of power, as Paul told Timothy, as he should live his life, but I'm going to be a person of timidity and sorrow. I have known people who have lost hope. Known people who have just given up. And it's so tragic. It's so sad to see. Hope, though, defines the Christian. We live every day, no matter the circumstance, with an incredible hope that God is in control. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul writes, therefore remember the that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. Let me tell you, if you don't have God this morning, you are without hope. There is nothing. You are just like the gentleman wrote at the beginning of the lesson. It's all just you. And there's nothing else. And your life will only be what you forge it, and you will die lost. And you will reap what you have sown. A hopeless eternal existence in hell. As Christians, we are defined by hope because the tragedy of the tragedy is lostness. And lostness is to be without that hope. Our hope is realized in the fact that we can look forward to a better life with God for eternity, no matter what may happen to us in this life. No matter how our life may end, no matter what may go on a daily basis. Some people live their entire lives in pain. Yet they find faith in God. And it overrides that pain so much. And I've seen people that had everything given to them on a silver platter. Known nothing but blessings. And they couldn't find hope in God with a map and a compass. We need to know what hope is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talked to the church at Corinth there. There were those that just believed that there was no resurrection, that really in this life you just kind of lived, and when you died you were like old Rover, you died all over. And there was nothing else. And so why not just live like you want to live? It was promoting immoral living because there was no consequence for your living. There also was no reward. Paul said, if you have trusted in Jesus only, in verse 19, in this life only, if that's the only place that you trust in Jesus, you don't trust in Him past this life, he says you're above all most to be pitied. Because you might as well, if that's the case, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But we have a hope in the resurrection. As Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, we have that hope that we too will be resurrected. That is, Jesus has shown us that it can happen. That one can be resurrected and never die again, just as He was. If He could, everybody else can too, right? That's why we have the resurrection recorded for us. And we also need to remember that what I want and I hope for must be something greater than this life. I don't want this life. There's wonderful things in this life, but there are some awful things in this life too. I want something better. I want something better for me. I want something better for you. I want something better for my children. And God's the answer. You know, we need to think about things that bring hope. You know, there are things that bring me hope. There are natural events. There are things in nature. You know, just thunderstorms and lightning. We've had quite a few of those. I'm sorry if you've had your trees torn up. But I look at those and I see power. And I think of how small a thunderstorm is in comparison to the universe. And I go, wow, what a God. Just in natural things, flowers blooming in the spring, a beautiful sunrise on the ocean waters. I lived in Denver and we have a visitor here this morning with us from Denver, and we're thankful to have her with us. But you know, the mountains never get old. I walked out of my front porch every morning to see 14,000 foot Mount Evans, and it never got old. It never was something I just looked at and went, yeah, it's a mountain. Something I always looked at and went, wow. The beauty of God's creation. A newborn baby gives us great hope. A baptism. Spiritual events that bring us hope. A baptism The birth of a new Christian, it's always something that brings us great hope. We see another souls coming into the God, to the church, one soul at a time, but that's just one more that we have saved from a devil's hell. The repentance of a wayward child of God. Person interested in studying the Bible, really wanting to know. That gives me so much hope. So often as a teacher, you know, we see so many people not interested that it gives us great hope when we find the person that says, I really want to know what God's Word says. Amen's at church. Thank you, Dottie. Always give us hope, make our sermons run longer. Campaigns, church camps and preachers' camps and other camps I've been involved in have given me great hope for the future. As I look at our young people, a letter, a note, a phone call, small things, but things that give people hope. There are many ways in which God provides hope to our lives. We talked about things we see and things that people do for us and things we may do for others to give hope. But what about God's sources of hope? First of all, we have the Scriptures. Romans 15 and 4, Paul says, for whatever was written in the earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You know, when I think how bad the world is, I remember that Noah was righteous, right? And he saved his family in a world where no one else was. When I have a 9-foot, 9-inch problem, I remember how God gave David the victory. When I think I'm all alone, and I'm the only one that gets it, and we sometimes have that pity party, I remember Elijah, God telling him 7,000 people have not bowed the knee to Baal. When I think that people can't change, and I believe with all my heart that people can, because I've seen people change, and I long for that in everyone. But when I do get discouraged and I think people can't change, I remember that the people of Nineveh, a godless city, repented when a preacher preached to them that hated them, didn't want them to repent, and yet they still repented. God's Word has the power to overcome even man, doesn't it? When I think things are at their worst, I remember that Job had an ending that was better than the beginning, right? And I know my last chapter hasn't been written yet. I don't know what all God can do to bless me, bring me out of the darkness and bless me in ways I can never imagine. When I walk through a valley, I remember Psalm 23 and that the Lord is with me. When I wonder why I'm here, I remember Joseph, that God had a plan for his life. I remember baby Moses, that God had a plan for his life. I remember the prophets that God said, from your womb, I had a plan for you. I knew you and knew the days of your life before you even lived one of them. A song we often sing, and it comes from Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 21 through 24, written by the prophet Jeremiah. He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. It's interesting talking about hope in a book called Lamentations, right? Sorrows, weeping. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. Bad days when Jeremiah wrote. But yet he says, I still have hope in the one place. We also have great hope in prayer. God provides that to us in Psalm 31, 24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all who hope in the Lord. Psalm 38, verse 15. Again, for I hope in Thee, O Lord. Thou wilt answer, O Lord, my God. You know, we repeatedly see the hope and the strength that David received from prayer. We see Jesus Christ Himself receiving great strength and hope in the prayers that He had. Prayer is a recurring source of hope that we see in God's Word. In times, you know, there have been times in my life when it seemed all I had was prayer. And I'm sure you can relate to those same things. There was really nothing I could do to change the situation, nothing I could do to affect the situation. I'm a person who wants to go out of situation. I'm in the personality test, I'm green. So as Ken Lowry says, I don't care. I just want to fix it. Don't listen to him. But there have been times where there are situations I can't fix. And I have no answer. And I have prayer. And you know, during those times, every time God showed me that I had more than just prayer on my side. I may have thought that's all I had left, but God knew better. And you know, that's really it, isn't it? God knows better. I don't even know how to direct my own steps. I need Him because He knows better. And I go to Him in prayer and I find hope. And then, of course, Jesus is our hope provided by God, that He loved us so much that He sent Him. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. We look to Him. He goes on to say in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope, and hope does not disappoint. You hear that? Hope does not disappoint. And right there before he talks about hope, he talks about tribulation, doesn't he? But we endure because of God. We find perseverance because of God, because of this hope, and hope will not disappoint. Because the love of God, this is why hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God is behind our hope. He is the focus of our hope. With that kind of hope, we will not fail. John says in 1 John 3 and verse 3, and everyone who has this hope, and that hope is to see Jesus Christ and to be like Him one day in the resurrection. That's what he's talking about. Everyone that has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Let me tell you what, when you understand and you want that hope in your life, you're going to do everything you can to live for that hope. Purify yourself. That one day when Jesus Christ does appear, I get to be just like Him. I get to be glorified, and I get to leave the sin and the pain and sickness and sorrow of this world and live forever with the Lord. You know, our hope is the only one, is in the only one that matters in this life, and that's Jesus Christ. As every person seeks hope, they must go through the way, the truth, and the life to get to it, to get to the Father of hope. The one that provides the greatest eternal hope that we know. Last of all, God provides a heaven as our hope. That hope in Jesus Christ will know its eternal fulfillment in heaven one day. And folks, we should wake up every day and give God thanks for that. We're giving thanks for all that we have and for our cars. And all that stuff doesn't even matter to one bit because it's all going to burn up one day, as Brother Marshall Keeble told a man one time. As Brother Marshall Keeble, he showed him this enormous ranch down in Texas, and it was impressive. And said, Mr. Keeble, what do you think? He said, I think it's all going to burn. We need to remember that. Thank God for the things that last. That's the salvation of my soul. That lasts. And to live for that every day, and not for the things that are going to burn. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, the church at Colossae is told, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So Paul was thankful for all that these people had become. And the reason they had become that is because they had a hope to be at home with God one day. You know, we have to fix our hope on Him. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, therefore, Gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, we hope for so many things in this life, but we need to hope for the right things in this life. I don't hope for $1 million. I don't hope for bigger cars and bigger houses. I hope for God. My life will be driven. Let me tell you, whatever you hope for in this life is what you will drive your life toward. If you hope for bigger houses, you will drive your life toward a bigger house. You will fix your hope on that. But if it's God, you will drive to be faithful. Job chapter 31, verses 24 through 28. Listen to what he says about that. This is a guy going through some rough times, isn't he? And I got worried, Calvin, that you were going to get into my lesson after I got into yours this morning. Job says, if I had put my confidence in gold and called fine gold my trust, if I have gloated because my wealth was great and because my hand had secured so much, if I have looked at the sun when it shone or the moon going in splendor, and my heart became secretly enticed, and my hand threw a kiss. And by the way, that throw a kiss there is the same terminology as used for worship in the New Testament. Proskuneo is to throw a kiss, that I have given my life to it. If I throw a kiss from my mouth, that too would have been an iniquity, calling for judgment. For I would have denied God above. Job said, if I had focused all my life on getting these things and being so filled with what I have and being so proud of what I've done, he said, then God would have a reason right now to be doing this to me, right? Because there would be iniquity in my life. He said, I never looked at all that I did and said, look at what I've done. I never sought the things of this world. God blessed me with them. And I used them for Him. To have this hope, we must trust in Jesus to do what we might see as the impossible in our lives. We must go against the reasoning of the world and trust in Jesus and His Word to change us into people of hope. We have to let go of the world, our own intelligence, and anything that keeps us from Christ and from the hope that He gives to our lives eternally. In an Appalachian art gallery, there sits a picture. It is a picture of a burnt-out mountain shack, all that remained of this humble house was a chimney. In front of this destroyed home stood an old man with a small boy that was crying and clutching a pair of patched overalls. And underneath the picture it says, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." You know, that vivid picture of that burnout shack and that old man, the weeping child, and those words, "God ain't dead," should keep returning to our minds when life is hard. Instead of it being a reminder of the despair of life, it has come to be a reminder of the hope of God. You know, our faith will determine how we view this life, right? Your level of faith based in your understanding and your knowledge of God's Word that builds faith is going to determine how you look at this world and how you look at your life and how you look at the things going on around you. It will determine whether you stand before the burnt shack of your life sometimes and you go, "It's over, it's impossible, it's done." Or are you saying, "God ain't dead"? And Jesus was a carpenter. He rebuilds lives. And He makes them better than they were before. You know, sometimes maybe we need to think about that at times God's clearing things out to make way for better things, right? And we forget that sometimes. Sometimes things are in our way. Maybe God helps it move out of our way. Job was the person who come to understand that, didn't he? As when you do read that last chapter, he got twice as much as he had before, right? And he got sons and daughters again. God made a way for greater things for him. Maybe it should be how we look at life. Maybe it shouldn't be, rather, how we look at life, but who we look at life through. And that we look at life through Jesus Christ. Don't give up on God. Place your trust in Him. Serve Him, love Him, wait on Him, focus on Him, and then know real hope that only comes through Him. Psalm 43 and verse 5 says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul?" This is David again. "And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." Sometimes, like David, when we forget and we let our lives fall into despair, we need to look at our souls. And like David right there, David's obviously let himself get into despair. He says, "Why are you in despair, soul?" We need to kind of remind ourselves, preach to ourselves a little bit, right? Why are you in despair? Put your hope in God. And there are better days ahead. That'll change your perspective. That'll help you move forward. Why are you in despair? Sin gives us despair. And who wants that? God gives us hope. Everybody needs and wants that. There was a Little League baseball game going on. And it was very early in the game. And it was 18-0 already. One of the spectators said to one of the young players, he said, "Don't get discouraged. Are you discouraged by the score?" He said, "Why would I be discouraged? We haven't even got up to bat yet." Right? Folks, sometimes we need to remember that we haven't even had a chance to get up to bat yet. Job had not even gotten up to bat yet, had he? And there was great things when he had his chance. That kid had a hope that they would overcome, even an 18-0 deficit. Sometimes in life we just give up and we never step up to the plate and put our hope in God. This morning, if you're not a child of God, maybe you feel like the score is 18-0, but let me tell you what, you have yet to go to the plate and put your hope in God. Give your life to Him. You can do that this morning. And He can overcome anything in your life. He can rebuild any burnt down shack. He can make your life what it needs to be and what you want it to be and what will get you to heaven one day. And that's the most important thing. Come believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Son of God, and be buried in baptism, raised to live a life of hope. A life that's fixed on God and the only eternal hope that's offered. If you're a child of God today, maybe you've forgotten where your hope should be. Maybe you've placed it in other things. Maybe like David, you're going, you need to ask your soul, why are you in despair? Hope in God. Look to Him. If we can help you in any way, if we can help you with the spiritual need this morning, we want to do that. And we hope and pray that you will let us so that you can know the hope that comes and the salvation that God offers. Why don't you let us help you this morning as we stand and as we sing. There's a time.